it, Joe. You're gonna be the next president of the United States.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of the show. It's me, Justin, and we are back with another episode. Thank you guys for being here. Better late than never, I always say. Sometimes you got to take a break, and my mental is feeling much better now, and I'm ready to give y'all more content. So y'all are getting this episode today and then another episode on Wednesday, because I feel like you guys have been craving content. So content is here. Dante, how are you this week?
I don't know if it's just me, but feels like the sun shined a little brighter this week. Birds chirped a little louder. I don't know. It feels like I had a sumo wrestler sitting on my chest and they not there no more. So
for 4 years, right?
About that. Yeah. About 4 years. I don't know. I can't explain it.
Right. I don't know what it is. This 4 year boulder that's been on our shoulders, on Dante's chest, has been lifted. We don't know what happened, but something in the world happened, and we're going to talk about it on this episode. But if you guys are new to the show, this show is all about bringing together different perspectives. Sometimes we agree, sometimes we disagree, but most importantly, we come together to bring our different perspectives when it comes to issues dealing with politics, like this episode, pop culture, entertainment, all of that good stuff. So we have a good time discussing interesting topics, and hopefully it opens your mind. Hopefully you share it with a friend. Hopefully you like what it is we're spilling on each episode. It's always fun for me every week, and I look forward to it. And thank you guys so much for listening. So if you love the show after listening to this, be sure to subscribe. Be sure to follow on Spotify. If you listen on Spotify, leave a rating, leave a review. I love clout. The ratings and reviews are just for clout. But if you love the show and want to sprinkle us with some clout, feel free. It makes my day when I read your comments about what you think of the show, what you like about the show, what you hate about the show. Because believe it or not, everybody has haters. So I'm sure Dante and I have people that hate listen to the show too. And we welcome you guys. I call you guys secret fans. Y'all hate me. Y'all might hate Dante, but you love the show. And in return, I love you back. So thank you guys for listening. I appreciate you guys. Even though this episode is late, y'all still stick with me anyway. And I appreciate that.
I gotta hop in there on, you said, if there's people that hate listen to the show. Listen, honestly, if you hate listen to the show, take that energy and use it for something good. Go volunteer somewhere. Go donate to a children's hospital. I don't know. Just put some positive energy in the world. There's no need to hate listen to this, because, I mean, I don't want to speak for Justin, but, like, honestly, like, if you hate me and you hate listen to what I do, like, chances are, I mean, let's just take that out. Not even chances are, like, I don't give a fuck about you. So you're wasting your time, you know, like, go do something positive with that energy. Because one thing I will say that I've changed over the past couple months is, instead of saying fuck you about people, I say God bless you. I ain't really saying that no more. What I will say is, I hope that you get out of this life whatever you put into it. Nothing more, nothing less. So if you put hate into the universe, that's what you should get back. If you put good vibes and positivity and caring and understanding, I hope you get that back tenfold.
You hear that? You heard it from Dante. But speaking of positive vibes and positive energy, I would be mad at myself if I didn't use this opportunity to mention something. So one of our fans, one of our stans, one of our friends of the show took it upon herself to come up with new theme music for the show. Shout out to Julia. Julia is one of our loyal listeners who's been listening to the show since forever. Julia, now that Dante is now a part of the show, took it upon herself to create new theme music that includes Dante as well. We love that. She's a musician and she's part of a group called Soul Packs. So check that out. I'll link that in the description. But Julia, I wanted to thank you for taking time out of your day to do that, because you didn't have to do that. So that's an example of the community that I want to cultivate here on this show. People feeling compelled to do something for us even though we didn't ask. That's all anybody can ask for when it comes to podcasting or creating anything. People that like your stuff so much that they want to make it better. They want to do their part to see you grow and prosper. So Julia, I appreciate you. Thank you for always supporting the show. Dante, did you have anything to add?
I heard it. Thank you very much, Julia. It sounds great. I can't wait for more.
Thank you, Julie. I just wanted to make sure that I give you a shout out right now before I forget. But it is time to get into Off My Chest.
Justin's got a gift. Dante has got to get
it.
Justin and Dante got to get it off their chest.
All right. So this week, I want you to go first, actually. Do you have anything to get off your chest this week? I have something.
Oh, yeah. I have something to get off my chest. So, you know, there are people that try to upend our democracy. Try to overturn a free and fair election. And these people that say all these negative things about Joe Biden, not anything substantive, right? Not about policy, not about any of that stuff. Or like they believe that QAnon bullshit that, you know, all these Democrats and celebrities are drinking kids' blood, whatever. I ain't getting into none of that. I'm not giving it air. But let's just talk about the best and the brightest, right? Let's talk about why the Republican Party has lost a popular vote in every election except for one since the year 2000. So we're going back 21 years here, okay? Your best and your brightest. So you gave us Mike Pence, racist, homophobe, who believes that you can shock the gay away. You gave us Sarah Palin. I'm just talking about presidential tickets here. You gave us Sarah Palin. She's an idiot. She knew nothing about federal government and how it was run. She thought because she was the closest state to Russia that she knew about foreign policy.
Well, explain to me why that enhances your foreign policy credentials.
Well, it certainly does, because our next door neighbors are foreign countries. They're in the state that I am the executive of. And
have you ever been
Russia.
Involved with any negotiations, for example, with the Russians?
We have trade missions back and forth. We do. It's very important when you consider even national security issues with Russia, as Putin rears his head and comes into the airspace of the United States of America. Where do they go? It's Alaska. It's just right over the border. It is from Alaska that we send those out to make sure that an eye is being kept on this very powerful nation, Russia, because they are right there. They are right next to our state.
You gave us Paul Ryan in 2012 with Mitt Romney. Paul Ryan, he's a spineless punk. Biden ate his lunch in the 2012 debates.
Is he wrong about that?
He is wrong about that. You can cut tax rates by 20%. And still preserve these important preferences for middle-class taxpayers.
Not mathematically possible.
It is mathematically possible. It's been done before. It's precisely what we're proposing.
It has never been done before.
It's been done a couple of times, actually.
It has never been done
Jack Kennedy
before.
Lowered tax rates, increased growth. Ronald Reagan.
Oh, now you're Jack Kennedy.
Ronald Reagan.
And instead of standing up to Trump, what'd he do? He quit his job. You gave us Mitt Romney. He is the most decent Republican in Congress right now. I have a bunch of policy differences with him, but he stood up to Donald Trump. I mean, that's a low bar, but he did it.
If we Republicans choose Donald Trump as our nominee, the prospects for a safe and prosperous future are greatly diminished. If Donald Trump's plans were ever implemented, the country would sink into prolonged recession. Isn't he a huge business success? Doesn't he know what he's talking about? No, he isn't. And no, he doesn't. A business genius, he is not. Donald Trump is a phony, a fraud. His promises are as worthless as a degree from Trump University.
So, cool, Mitt Romney. But we saw Barry crushed him. You gave us John McCain, war hero, decent man. Stood up for facts. When he was on a campaign trail, this woman was calling Obama a Muslim and a terrorist, said he wasn't born here. John McCain stood up for the facts.
I got to ask you a question. I do not believe in, I can't trust Obama. I have read about him, and he's an Arab. He is not.
No, ma'am. He's a decent family man, citizen that I just happen to have disagreements with on fundamental issues, and that's what this campaign is all about. He's not. Thank you.
And he saved health care for 22 million Americans. He didn't sign on to this plan to abolish Obamacare when there was not another plan in place. Disagreed with him on policy about a lot of stuff, but he's a decent man, and he served his country. And then you gave us Donald Trump, who, by a lot of metrics... And it's very soon. It's only been 2 days since he left office, right? Or one full day. But by most metrics, will go down as the worst president ever. He accomplished a tax cut for the rich, and that's it about his accomplishments. You know, lost the first president since the 1950s to have lost jobs, lost 3 million jobs. Raised the deficit by trillions of dollars. I thought the Republican Party was a party of fiscal conservatism, and we're not going to spend on something if we can't pay for it. Mexico still didn't pay for that wall, in case you guys were wondering. We're an international laughingstock. And that's all before we get into the character flaws of this man. How about you spend less time trying to fight a lost cause and you do the work so we can all work together to make this country a better place? That's what I had to get off my chest.
Ooh, let's get some applause going. You were basically dragging the Republican Party. My two cents on what you said is the Republican Party is a dying party. If your biggest base is like white men or white people in general, that's probably a losing ticket because there's only so many white people that you can cater to, and it's not something that's sufficient. You see on the other side, Democrats are building a coalition of white people, Hispanic people, minorities. Republicans have to gerrymander. Republicans have to suppress the vote in order to win. I feel like if you have to cheat to win, you must be a loser. So by that reference, the Republican Party, they know that they're a dying party, so that's why they have to cheat to win. We are headed towards a reality where Republicans might never win the presidency ever again. I know it might be a presumptive thing to say, but it might be true as well. We're seeing Georgia turn blue. We're seeing Nevada turn blue, and previously it was red when Trump won. So a lot of the demographics in this country is changing, and I think a reality that a lot of Republicans and people in general have to face is the fact that this is a changing country. You either adapt or you go extinct. Those are the only two options. If you cannot adapt to change, you will be a relic of the past. So now you're trying to see all these Republicans distance themselves from Trump because Trump is a sinking ship. He's no longer in power anymore. So they're trying to figure out a way to pick up the pieces and be a party again. But it's going to be difficult because they sold their soul for Trump. Trump lost, and now they don't know what to do. So play stupid games, win stupid prizes, as Dante always says. So that's my two cents that I'll add to that.
Let me add on one more thing about what you just said, right, about how they might never win a presidency again. And I see all these people who chose Trump as their hill to die on talking about, well, he's going to start his own party and run in 2024. I welcome that. And let me tell you why. I'm going to give you guys a history lesson about what we call party splitting in a presidential election year. 1976, Gerald Ford is the incumbent president. Ronald Reagan decides to challenge him in a primary. What do? They split the Republican vote. Jimmy Carter wins. 1980, Jimmy Carter, incumbent Democratic president. Ted Kennedy decides, I can do a better job, split the Democratic Party. Ronald Reagan wins. So we're welcoming it. If they put up Mitt Romney in 2024 and that guy runs on his own, you split the ticket. Joe Biden gets another 4 years or Kamala Harris gets 4 years. So we welcome it.
I mean, he's right. It's probably going to happen. So if Trump does that, he's going to split the Republican Party and further fracture what's left of their party. So, you know, act accordingly. But the thing I need to get off my chest is woke Twitter. Woke Twitter, revisionist history Twitter, and this infatuation that they have with the relationship of George W. Bush and Michelle Obama, I do not get it. I feel like for Republicans or conservatives, the bar is so low. There's pictures of George W. Bush giving Michelle Obama a piece of candy and everybody goes crazy. Oh my God, look at this.
There was a tiny moment at John McCain's funeral where former President Bush handed you a cough drop. It may have been a nothing to some people, but when you watched that moment, we realized how important that tiny moment was, right?
I didn't realize at the time that anybody noticed what we were doing. We were sitting together, you know, President Bush and I, we are forever seatmates because of protocol. That's how we sit at all the official functions. So he is my partner in crime at every major thing where all the formers gather. So we're together all the time, and I love him to death. He's a wonderful man. He's a funny man. And it was a simple gesture. He was getting a cough drop from Laura, and I looked over, and I said, hand me a cough drop. He was like, oh, okay.
oh, imagine George W. Bush back in office. Yeah, we imagine, and that's not a reality that we want. It's so sad to me that if you treat somebody with decency and respect, people want to rewrite history when it comes to George W. Bush just because he's friendly with Michelle Obama. There's so many people tweeting, this George W. Bush presidency makes Trumps look crazy. I wish we can go back to those times. George W. Bush was bad, but Trump was worse. But just because Trump is so bad doesn't mean we need to go back to the times of George W. Bush. Maybe we need to bring decency back, but we don't need to bring George W. Bush back, I promise. It's so peculiar to me how when George W. Bush left office, we were in a recession, the economy was trash, millions of jobs lost, and then Obama comes in. Within 8 years, the economy is back booming again. Now, after another Republican presidency, look what happens. The economy is trash, millions of jobs lost, and to make it worse, we have a raging pandemic that's taking a lot of lives. So it's interesting how for the past couple of terms, a Republican comes in, tears stuff apart, and then a Democrat is here to come and clean up the mess. So I'm just annoyed with that. But let's get into this inauguration. So I'll let you go. What did you think of the inauguration? What are your thoughts? What comes to mind? What do you want to get to?
I think it says a lot about a person's character. I mean, it sucks that we're having such, we set the bar so low now because of Trump and what we think of decency and, you know, everything. But to sit on that stage and listen to the person who's taking over your job, and they most likely got that job because they presented a different vision than you and they bashed you a lot on the campaign trail, and to sit there and take it during their speech, you know, it says a lot about a person. It's called dignity and losing with grace and class and demeanor. I don't like Mike Pence particularly at all. I don't think he's a good person particularly at all. But I mean, for the past 2 weeks, he's basically been the president. He's basically trying to save his ass now, right? He's like, I'm going to do all these things with dignity and grace so I can distance myself from this guy when I run in 2024.
Right.
So, you know, he stood on that stage and took that ass whooping.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad that he did come because it shows that at least we're upholding some type of norm, because it would be very strange for nobody from the previous administration to be a part of the inauguration in that capacity. But I will say, if Trump did decide to show up to the inauguration, I feel like, one, he would be booed. Two, I don't see Obama or Michelle or even Clinton and all of them even shaking his hand. If he came down the stairs to take his seat, I don't see them shaking his hand. I wouldn't. It's just shameful because he knows how bad he's been as a president, and he doesn't want to show his face. He doesn't want to show his face to Mitch McConnell. He doesn't want to show his face to Joe Biden, and he definitely doesn't want to show his face to Mike Pence, and he basically endangered the life of Mike Pence and his family. So he's just too embarrassed and cowardly to show up.
So that's where I disagree with you. I don't think that he's embarrassed at all. I just think he's a coward. Like, you lost. You can't sit here and admit defeat and, you know, fuck the guy. He ain't president no more. Fuck him. Whatever happens to him is too good for him. I can't wait for all these files to be charged against him. Let's go. Because we need justice to be served, right? You cannot have unity without accountability.
And everybody has to be accountable, even the people at the top. It doesn't matter if you're the president or if you held a high office. This is, you know, one nation under a rule of law.
Well, I got to get something else off my chest, because you made me think about this. You know what else bugs me about him and the people, the dullards that support him? You talk about this election being stolen. Like, how can a guy who got 75 million votes lose? Because the other guy got 81 million votes. You talk about there was hordes of dead people voting in Georgia. They looked into it 3 times. You know how many dead people voted in Georgia? 2. Your party talks about, you know, states' rights and, you know, don't tread on me. Why are senators and congresspeople from other states standing up and objecting and trying to disenfranchise voters from a state that they don't got shit to do with? Like, it's full of hypocrisy, and I hope that these people can one day see the light and see the hypocrisy.
For the inauguration in general, I thought it was good. Usually I find inaugurations boring and long and drawn out. This time, I guess since there was maybe less people and it was all social distance, it felt a lot shorter than it usually does. So I thought the ceremony was great. I thought that Biden gave a great speech.
Thinking not of power, but of possibilities, not of personal interest, but the public good. And together we shall write an American story of hope, not fear, of unity, not division, of light, not darkness, a story of decency and dignity, love and healing, greatness, and goodness. May this be the story that guides us.
I was kind of nervous for his speech because we know he's not the best speaker, but I think he did a good job. But I was disappointed to see the same platitudes, you know, said all over again. Unity, not division. No white against black. Rich against poor. Conservative against liberal. We need to unite. But it's not that easy to just unite. It's not like the differences that we're fighting over is just, you know, slight disagreements here and there. There are core values that the other side is not understanding, and it's not something that can be easily fixed. So how he claims that he can be the one to unite the country, I think that's a hard task to fulfill, to be honest. It's good that immediately once he got sworn in, afterwards he wrote 17, I believe, executive orders. I'm glad he did, because I remember during his campaign when he was running, he said, on day one, I'm going to do this, this, and that. And I'm like, okay, if you're saying it, you have to do it. And for the most part, he's holding true on those promises. So the thing with him and his administration is that we're going to be holding them to it. I'm not one to ever worship politicians because I think that's dangerous. We elect you to perform a job, and if you don't perform, we're going to vote you out. So I'm cautiously optimistic. I think that's the best thing that we can do since he's just starting out. Let's see if the things that he promised comes into fruition. I'm not going to be pessimistic. I'm not going to be negative and challenging him right away. But a couple weeks from now, we're going to want to know what the results are.
I agree with you there. And like, you know, in my opinion, inauguration was fine. I thought Lady Gaga's, her rendition of that song was interesting. I like Lady Gaga a lot, and I think she's a phenomenal singer, but that left something to be desired in my opinion.
Thank you. Somebody with sense. This is why I like Dante, an honest man that tells it like it is. We love it. I agree with you. I saw on Twitter, people were saying, oh, that was the best rendition since Whitney Houston. I was like, what were y'all listening to?
That's definitely not.
That was not the best. I mean, it wasn't bad. No. Let's not kid ourselves here. It was definitely not a bad rendition. It just was not like amazing to where people are going to be talking about it for years.
Yeah, I mean, she did a fine job. And I saw later in the night Katy Perry out there singing Firework or whatever. I'm like, yeah, cool. Like, whatever. I don't care about none of that shit, man. I'm here to talk about the substance stuff, what we want to see from this Biden-Harris administration. Are you ready to talk about some policy and stuff we want to see?
Yeah. What do you want to see?
We need healthcare reform in this country. The Obamacare, the ACA, is a good starting piece. Let's add tweaks to it to make it better. There's no need to scrap the whole thing. There's no need for 22 million people that have pre-existing conditions to get kicked off of their healthcare plan. How can you say we are the greatest country on the face of the earth if we can't take care of our people because they have a pre-existing condition? That's bullshit to me. You need to stand up to Big Pharma and healthcare and make sure we can keep our people healthy and that they can go seek medical attention or have access to medical attention when they need it.
It's about time that this country has healthcare for everybody. Medicare for all, we see time and time again, poll after every poll. It's a popular thing among the electorate on both sides, whether people realize it or not. It's not socialism. We just want people to have healthcare. Like Dante said, this is a developed country. Healthcare is a right. It's not a privilege, no matter what these right-wing people tell you. It is a right. Everybody has the right to their health. It's true, but it's good to have ambition. Always strive for 100% or even 110%. That way, if you get to 95 instead of 90, you will have accomplished more than you ever set your expectations on previously. So it's always good to aim high. Biden has a lot to do. And I think that with this pandemic, it's kind of unfair because he's having to deal with the pandemic first and foremost, rightfully so. But there's still a lot of things to accomplish. So I think that maybe when it comes to grading him after his first term, we might have to grade on a curve because he's under some, you know, extreme circumstances. But it'll be interesting to see how he's able to get everything under control.
Agreed with you 100% there. You know, something else that I want to see from the Biden administration is to get rid of the filibuster. And I know you might disagree with me on that. I can't remember how much we've talked about that, but Mitch McConnell shouldn't have any power or have any say about what gets brought to the floor anymore. We have a majority in the Senate. Kamala Harris is the tiebreaker. So get rid of the filibuster. Let's get this agenda passed. They don't have any excuses anymore. You have the presidency. You have the House. You have the Senate. Get stuff done. Give relief to the people that are hurting, not the millionaires and billionaires who are getting these tax cuts. Give the relief to the people. Get the stimulus checks out to the people that need them. And for all those people talking that big boy shit, if you're doing so well in life, why do you even qualify for a stimulus check then? But, you know, that's a conversation for another day.
No, it's not a conversation for another day. You know what is so funny about this whole discussion? All these people complain about handouts from the government and they hate to see it. But when they get their $2,000 checks, are they just going to throw that away? Probably not. They're probably going to deposit that. So if you don't like handouts, I want you to rip up that $2,000 check and throw it in the trash. Since you're about, you know, no government handouts and no help from the government, throw it away. If you're really about your talk, back it up with action.
Yeah, and you know what? And for those people, I got something else to say to the Rock Nation Brunch Twitter crowd too, talking about, oh, well, when you get this check, what you should do is start an LLC and then you get a company credit. Shut up. People aren't able to buy their medicine or feed their families or pay their bills. LLC is the last thing on their mind. Like, save all that fucking, you got your knowledge from Jay-Z song. Save all that shit for somebody who could use that advice right now. Like, you do that shit and tell us how it works out. But right now people are hurting, and that starting an LLC and trying to flip that money isn't the first thing on their mind. They have priorities.
Exactly.
Life or death decisions to make.
What good is an LLC when your kids are starving? It's all about priorities. And speaking of that, I have to talk about this. This kind of like bounces off of what you just said. In the beginning of this episode, you mentioned how a boulder was lifted. You feel relief because Trump is no longer in office. He's now an afterthought. A lot of people were happy and excited about the prospect of Joe Biden, you know, becoming the next president. So people were taking to Twitter. Yes, Twitter was running amok. They were loving Biden and loving Michelle and loving the fashions and all this stuff. Do you think that people are justified to celebrate? Should I be talking bad about them for focusing on what Michelle Obama and Nancy Pelosi are wearing rather than the moment and what they're actually going to do for the people? Because I feel like, I don't know, I saw tweets saying, oh, finally, white supremacy is over, huh? Racism is over, huh? It bothers me because people think that Trump leaving office now means that all of that stuff is over. I saw all these celebrities singing the song F Donald Trump and popping bottles and they're happy. And it bothers me because people think that the job is done, that getting Trump out of office was the best thing that could have happened and now the country is normal again. But it's not. You know, Trump opened up a lot of problems and those problems still need to be solved. So I'm concerned with all the people that think that their job is done, that voting in Georgia and voting in November to get Trump out was the least of their concerns, and now that they've done it, we can now rest again. We can't rest, honestly. And I was happy to see everybody politically motivated to get out there and vote, but I was scared that once they did vote, they think that the work is done and they no longer have to pay attention to politics and everything's good now because Trump is out of office, but it's not. And I hope that people understand that.
People should be allowed to feel relief and to celebrate for a little bit because we just survived a hell of a 4 years, man. I don't even know what to compare it to because anything I compare it to would be minimalizing the situation we just got out of. You know, it's like winning a championship in a sport. You know, I busted my ass at practice and at these games and to see it all finally pay off. You're allowed to celebrate for a little bit. You don't win the championship and then be like, all right, 12 months from now, I got to start working right now as soon as I won this for 12 months from now. No, you're allowed to celebrate and enjoy yourself. And I won't criticize anybody for that.
Because I saw so many people, yes, yes, like worrying about the stupidest thing. Like Bernie became a meme. There was this meme of him sitting down in a chair with his arms folded and everybody turned that into a meme and, you know, posted it everywhere. And then when Bernie was interviewed about it, he was like, yeah, I'm worried about these $2,000 checks. Like he could care less about the memes and the ass moments from the inauguration. He's focused on, okay, let's get to work. And I feel like that's the mindset that we should have. I agree with you that it's okay to celebrate and be happy because we had a lot at stake and a lot could be lost had Trump got reelected. So the fact that he's no longer in office is cause to celebrate. And I think people have a right to celebrate, but I think people shouldn't lose sight of the end goal, which is, you know, these $2,000 checks, relief from corona, making sure everybody's vaccinated, relief from student loans. It could give you a headache, but I hope that people don't lose sight of the bigger goal in the midst of their celebration.
You know, so there's two points that I want to bring up. you know, you brought up some excellent points, but there's two things I want to bring up about what you just said, right? When you talk about canceling student loan debt, I have mixed feelings about it, and this might be an unpopular opinion. I think that it's a great way to stimulate the economy. You know, if you cancel people's student loan debt, they are able to go spend. However, if you borrowed something, you should have to pay it back or return it. I mean, that's just a principle of life, right? Before you try to dig into me, I think the whole process should be reformed, right? First day in office, Biden's Secretary of Education froze all student loan debt payments and also put the interest rates at zero. Student loan interest rate should always be fucking zero. Stop being predators to these kids that are just trying to do what they think they need to do to make a better life for themselves and their family.
That's true.
Yeah, there's no reason these interest rates should be like credit cards. So that's the problem. And then the second thing I wanted to say is, I mean, now we can say this, you know, because everything's all good and buttoned up and official, but how would we be feeling right now? Where would we be if that guy actually pulled it off?
Ooh, you will see riots. You will see riots, honestly. It very well could be a possibility because we saw how many votes he got this time around. He got even more votes than last time. You would think that after a chaotic 4 years that people have had enough and he would lose votes overall. And that didn't happen.
The outbreak of a mystery virus in China.
We have it totally under control.
ER doctors saying we are on the verge of a medical disaster.
It will go away. Just stay calm. It will probably go away by itself. If we had a vaccine, that would be very helpful.
Our country wasn't built to be shut down.
Across this country, two crises have converged. Protests over the death of George Floyd and the pandemic.
The rise and spread of the QAnon conspiracy.
I understand they like me very much.
The radical question, left.
Who shut is up, man.
You like me to condemn.
White supremacists and right
Proud Boys. Stand back and stand by.
So that's very concerning for me because it's like, man, America is more lost than I thought it was. You know, I thought that people realized their mistake in electing Trump the first time around and would do better by, you know, electing Biden. But the fact that Trump got more is very concerning because we haven't gone as far as we thought. And that's due to many factors. It's due to people being misinformed.
What drew me to Donald Trump is he's a businessman. A self-made billionaire. Yes, his father gave him $1 million, but he turned it into billions. I wish I could say that. How about you?
It's due to people being ignorant and choosing to be ignorant. It's due to lack of education.
We needed a president who was going to do something for our country. I have been unemployed for 9 years under the past administration, and I knew that he would do something that I would be able to get a job. And I have children and who also need jobs. And yes, he's meeting all my expectations.
It's due to people liking Trump. There is a cult-ish reaction when it comes to Trump. People love him. They don't care what he says or what he does. They like him and nobody's going to tell them any different.
He has more than come up to my expectations. See this? Absolutely. I have been out campaigning for him. I love him. We saw him at the White House over 4th of July, him and Melania. I was in tears.
That's their guy. It doesn't matter if his policies are hurting them. They like him. They like the way he speaks. They like the way he tells it like it is. They like the fact that he's not a politician.
I support Donald Trump because he's the only candidate that says exactly what every American thinks. He's the only candidate that cares about America. And he's the only person that truly knows how to make America great again.
I support Donald Trump because we do not need another career politician in Washington, D.C. We need someone that is willing to say what the people are thinking. We do not need someone that is scared to say something just because they want to be liked. We need someone that will go out of the way and really show America that we need to be great again.
These factors are more important to them than their healthcare, is more important to them than tax cuts. That's their guy and they're going to cheer for him and root for him regardless of who's on the other side. There's that segment of people too that support Trump. And a lot of people wanted chaos too. That's why people wanted Trump. Some people that you talk to say, oh, I wanted somebody that would shake things up, drain the swamp, and that's why he's my guy. Okay. It seems like he did that. He shook up the system. So now in response to Trump shaking up the system, the American people decided to elect the very opposite of him. Status quo, easy and steady, neoliberal, corporate Democrat, minimal incremental change, Joe Biden. And that's what the American people want. If Trump got reelected again, you would see riots like you've never seen before. If you thought the Women's March was a lot, it's going to be 10 times that if Trump won another term. And he very well would have, because we haven't talked about this on the show, but Had there not been COVID-19, you would have been inaugurating Trump on Wednesday. I'm telling you. I don't care what anybody tells me. Trump would have won two terms. The economy was doing great. People that voted for him said that their businesses were doing great. So because of that, what reason do they have to change things up? If it's not broke, don't fix it. And for them, Trump wasn't broke, so they would gladly reelect him in a landslide. I think whoever the Democrats nominated on the other side would lose, and we would be facing another 4 years of Trump.
Look, it's always tough to beat an incumbent, right? It's only happened 3 times in the past 50 years or whatever it may be. Without COVID, then yeah, it'd have been a pretty tall task for anybody that they nominated to beat him. But we did, and we don't even have to. I'm glad that this is just a hypothetical what if, and it's not reality that we're speaking about. And I mean, you said so much there, and I was trying to cherry pick, like, all right, this is what I'm going to talk about. This is what I'm going to focus on. But you said so much and made so many good points. It's like, I don't even know what to respond to there, you know, about it. I'm just glad that that part of our history is behind us now. You know, let him crawl into whatever hole he wants. And like you said, the issue is he doesn't matter no more. It's with the 75 million people that supported him. That's where the issue is. Oh,
because those people aren't going to go away.
They're not. They're here. They're citizens of the United States unless they try to secede from the union. And guess what would happen if you did that? Just guess, guys. You would be met with swift force from the man. Trust me. You know what Uncle Abe did when people succeeded from the Union? Shot off them cannons. So can you imagine what Uncle Joe would do if people tried to succeed from the Union? Shoot off them thangs, okay? You don't got to get ready when you stay ready, all right?
Exactly.
You made excellent points there about this. And like I said before, so it's about the 75 people. But it doesn't surprise me, right, that certain people still supported him, because a lot of those people that support him to this day, even though he's a loser, one-term president, worst president in history, right? They're the same people that carry around a Confederate battle flag of a failed country that fucking lost, okay? Why are you proudly flying around the banners of losers? By proxy, you're a fucking loser. You are a company you keep, right? Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. I don't let ass people around me because ain't nothing about me made. So I ain't going to be around ass people. You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't fly the flag of a loser. I mean, I've been an Eagles fan most of my life, so I guess that's a little hypocritical because they fucking ass.
Shameful.
Yeah, but it doesn't make sense. It doesn't compute in my brain.
I think you made some good points, but I think what we're coming to terms with is the fact that Trump honestly wasn't the problem. A lot of people think that once Trump was elected, something was born, but that thing has always been bubbling under the surface. People were afraid to show that side in public, but he emboldened people. Trump was the gasoline. The fire was already burning, and by electing Trump, we handed him the gasoline, and he definitely enraged the flames. That's what he did. For anybody that says that, oh, racism is over, white supremacy, we defeated it, no, it's still going to be a part of, you know, American culture, because that is the fiber of who America is. We have to realize that. So we have to heal these divides. I don't know how it's going to happen because it feels like we're more divided than ever. But we have to understand that Trump wasn't the issue. He was the gasoline. He was the person that ripped off the Band-Aid, but that ugly wound has always been there. He just emboldened people to have their racist feelings vindicated. Honestly, this guy is openly racist. Well, if I'm racist behind closed doors, does this mean that it's okay for me to be racist outside? Oh, this is my guy. I love him. So for a lot of people, that's why they love Trump so much. When they say tell it like it is, that's what they mean, somebody that's openly racist. Because for so long, I feel like within the Republican Party, there's been this element of racism, but nobody really talks about it, but everybody knows it.
So yes, the Democratic Party has been problematic, but it ain't enough to drive me to people who not only ignore me, but who don't understand. The Republicans don't understand they have an inbuilt advantage. Black people are morally conservative, even if they're politically progressive. They go to church, they read the Ten Commandments. Yeah. If Republicans weren't so racist, they could encourage black people who are morally conservative to be on their side. I'm always arguing against black people in church about homophobia, about the place of women, but I know that there are some deeply rooted conservative values that need to be taken advantage of if Republicans weren't so bigoted and weren't so racist.
All Republicans are bigoted?
Not all of them, but enough of them to make a difference, enough of them who don't speak up. Where are the Republicans when unarmed black people are assaulted by police? I want white folk to speak up. That's not just a black problem. That's not a female problem. That's an American problem. Speak up in this country.
That's why a lot of people are turned off by the Republican Party, because it basically is the party of upholding white supremacy. It really is. I'm not trying to be bold. I'm not trying to talk some hot for the podcast. I think that that's the truth. Everything that they represent upholds white supremacy. Tax cuts for the rich. Who happens to be rich in this country? More often than not, white people. They seem to be exclusionary when it comes to welcoming other people.
Let's talk about suppressing voting rights. I don't want to hear them talk about, you know, this is a land for everybody and we're inclusive and everybody who's a citizen we love. You don't feel that way. You wouldn't be trying to suppress the votes of people in largely black and brown communities.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. So anybody that tries to get at me, I'm not trying to come at it in a negative way. I'm just trying to read it for what it is. Some people might say I'm a Republican because of their traditional values and their stances on abortion. Fine. But I'm still saying there's a segment of the Republican Party that's their main goal, upholding white supremacy and white dominance over everybody else.
They'll say that they're Reagan Republicans. No, we're the classic Republican, like free economy, low government interference and everything. So holler at the rest of your party, because they kind of don't feel the same way. In 4 years, he added more to the deficit than Obama did in 8. Let's talk about it, right? Y'all love to bring up Barry all the time. Y'all love to bring up, like, there's no comparison here. There truly isn't. Like, there's nothing to compare. There's no legislative victories for this man. And y'all want to compare him to Obama, who, and all bias aside, is the best president of my lifetime. I have lived through Clinton, Bush, Obama, Trump, and now Biden. You can't judge Biden yet. Obama is the best president of my lifetime. I'm not a fan of Reagan. Obama's the best president since Reagan. He was a good president for some people. Definitely the best president since Reagan. And y'all want to bring up Trump?
The thing with politics is I don't want to treat it like it's sports. I don't have a vested interest in any of those politicians because they don't have a vested interest in me. They might pretend to have a vested interest just so they can get my vote, but at the end of the day, they don't care. Even though I like Obama personally, I think that he's, you know, a good person. I'm not going to be like, oh, this is my guy, because we shouldn't treat politics like that. That's dangerous. People treat Trump like that when they're blind to his faults. The same way with Obama. Time is always the best indicator of somebody's legacy. Trump hasn't been out of office that long, but it seems like he's going to go down as one of the worst modern president, if not the worst of all time. And I'm not just saying that because I don't like him. I really do think that that's the truth. Obviously, I don't think Obama was as bad as Trump, but none of them are perfect. Obama made a lot of promises that he didn't fulfill. And I feel like a lot of people feel swindled by him because they thought that he would be a progressive president, and he wasn't. He turned out to be an establishment corporate bailout president, and that's what he is, and that's what he turned out to be. As a party, the Democrats have to be careful because the pandering is at an all-time high. So a question that both Dante and I wrote down is, will the Democrats ever run a ticket without a person of color ever again? And the reason why we wanted to ask this question, because Biden made it very clear that for his VP, he was going to pick a woman.
Number one, I committed that if I'm elected president, have an opportunity to appoint someone to the courts, I'll appoint the first black woman to the courts. It's required that they have representation now. It's long overdue. Secondly, if I'm elected president, my cabinet, my administration will look like the country. And I commit that I will, in fact, pick a woman to be vice president. There are a number of women who are qualified to be president tomorrow. I would pick a woman to be my vice president.
And personally for me, a lot of people, maybe Yas, Twitter really loved that. I didn't like that. I feel like as a presidential nominee, it's good to just do things. If you really have deeply held opinions about something, it would be bold to just nominate a woman rather than pandering and saying, I'm going to pick somebody that's a woman, because it makes it seem like you're only picking them because of their gender. There are plenty of qualified women. Pick one without pandering. A lot of pandering happens with the Democratic Party. So our question is, you know, will the Democrats ever run a ticket without a person of color? Will people see two white men running and criticize it? Do they have a point in criticizing? Dante, what do you think?
I don't think that the Democratic Party can run, you know, another presidential ticket without a woman or a person of color. And that, like you said, that becomes a complicated circumstance because of how we talked about on the affirmative action episode, right? should you just get this job because you're a woman? Should I just get this job because I'm black? But I really think for diversity's sake and for making leadership reflect what the country looks like, I don't think they can ever run a ticket again without a woman or a person of color in one of those top two spots. I think that's what gets a lot of people who don't identify with a political party to vote for them is more inclusive, because like you saw in Georgia, in the presidential and in the Senate races, the black vote is what turned it out, right? And Justin's way more on the, I don't know how to put it on a spectrum of, you know, talking about that, but I'm just stating the facts to you. That's no bias. That's not me coming to you as a black man saying, hey, we did that. That's what happened down there. The reason Warnock and Ossoff won, black people in Georgia. The reason Biden won, black people in Georgia, okay? So if you don't have Kamala Harris on that ticket, do I think Joe Biden wins Georgia? I really don't think so. Does he get PA? Yeah, but I don't know because of Philly, so I don't know. I just don't know if they can ever run a ticket again without diversity on it.
Well, you said like for the sake of diversity. What does that exactly mean? Because you said that it's important for people to see people that look like them when it comes to voting. But that was kind of the antithesis of what you said in the affirmative action episode, because you said you don't like diversity for the sake of diversity. So how can you have that opinion in that episode and then come back and say that diversity is needed when it comes to a ticket for president?
Because people want to vote for something that looks like them, that feels like them. So if the If the Democratic Party is a party that is about inclusion, right? The party that is more diverse, because that party welcomes people of all different backgrounds, people of color, people that are of the LGBTQ plus community, white people. It's basically the melting pot. What they want you to think America is, that's what the Democratic Party purports itself to be. So you want your leadership to reflect that, I guess, on the ticket, because people are going to be more, people who aren't involved in politics the way me and you are would be more inclined to vote for that ticket.
If you're hiring for a position of power, in the back of your mind, you're like, okay, me putting a black person or a person of color in this role will inspire more people to reach for the stars, and maybe one day that they can also have this same position. It works the same way. So by having this opinion, you're saying that diversity is necessary in both the workplace and on presidential tickets.
Those are two different things.
They're not different things. One is just a job, and the ticket is also a job. The only difference is people are electing these people.
We can agree to disagree on this one.
No, I think that you're being, in a way, a hypocrite.
Lay it out to me one more time. How do you think that?
You said that diversity for the sake of diversity when it comes to hiring is diversity for the sake of diversity. So how is it different when it comes to a presidential ticket? If both are qualified and you're just picking somebody because they are a person of color, why is that any different in a job situation if somebody is hiring a qualified person who happens to be a person of color?
You're not listening to what you're saying that I'm saying this is what I would do. I told you on that affirmative action episode, I think the most qualified person should get the job, regardless of any other extenuating circumstances. Most qualified person should get the job. And on the affirmative action episode, I did say that I think that if you want to use affirmative action to put quotas in place, then yes, you need to get more people into that room that are interviewing. The decision to hire should not be based off of color, creed, religion, sexual preference, whatever. Not at all.
Above qualifications.
Above qualification, yes. I'm saying that I don't think the Dems will run a ticket without a woman or a person of color on there again, because I don't think that they believe that they could win another election without that. I definitely don't see the Republican Party running a ticket with a person of color on it.
Do they even have it? Many people of color?
Tim Scott and Nikki Haley, that's about
any it. People that even choose from?
Yeah, Tim Scott and Nikki Haley. That's it.
Oh my God. My opinion is that it's always about having the most qualified person. I think diversity is important, and there's plenty of ways to get diverse people in the room. But if you're talking about qualifications, I think that you can put two white men on a ticket and get elected, because for so long, two white men have been the ticket. As long as they're qualified, as long as they're going to enact policies that helps minorities and people of color, go for it, because that's what matters. Identity doesn't matter so much as you are still doing your job and you're still helping the people that you were elected to help. And it's good to break barriers while you're at it. So if you're ever in a position of power and you have the chance to hire somebody that comes from a diverse background but is qualified, do it.
I see where you're coming from, and that's why it's called polar opposites, right? We're not always going to agree on everything. I am very interested to see what happens. And I mean, there's so much that needs to be done now, but to see what that ticket is going to look like on the Republican side in 2024 would be very interesting. One thing I do want to say, you know, moving on from the topic, excuse me, that we were just talking about, Joe Biden is walking into office into one of the three worst situations that a president has ever walked into the office under. For people like Justin, because he's radical in thought, I think some people need to temper expectations here, because he's walking into a situation not dissimilar to what Franklin Roosevelt walked into with the Great Depression and people living on the street, or Lincoln the day he got inaugurated, states seceding from the Union and caused a civil war. Biden's dealing with a once in a century pandemic that was mishandled for a year. Rest in peace to those 400,000 plus people that have lost their lives to this, by the way, because I don't know if you guys know it or not, but it's fucking real. So wear a mask, stop the spread. So Biden's walking into that, having to basically build the infrastructure to get all these vaccines out from scratch. And the economic situation is on par, maybe even worse than what Obama walked into. Joe's going to be putting in some work. It's going to be easy sailing for this guy. He has a tall order. He's walking into a very rough situation. And one of the things I always, you know, talk to people when I have those types of conversations, you know, intelligent conversation, I think we talked about before too, is, and I still don't have an answer for this. I listen to different people's opinion on it, but it's, does the man make the moment, or does the moment make the man, right? Was Franklin Roosevelt a great president because of what happened, or was he already a great man and just happened to be there at that time? Was Lincoln already a great man, or did the situation mold him into a great man? I don't have an answer for it. I hope Joe Biden is up to the task here.
I mean, I don't think that he would have ran if he wasn't up to the task. Like, he's 78 years old. He's already spent some time in the White House. He really has no reason to run. He felt like he was the only person on the Democratic side that could really stand a chance against defeating Trump. He really ran on that, and I think that's why the American people chose him as the nominee and ultimately as the next president, because they were like, he's the unifier, he's the one that can quell the storm, and now he's the president. So we'll see if he's up to the task. We know that he's always dreamed of being the president, and now his moment is here. Dire circumstances, but it's the name of the game. It's not the hardest job in the world for a reason. The vetting process, everything that it takes to become the president, most people don't want that pressure. He decided to do it with his old age and everything, with his son that passed away recently. In this, you know, changing world that we're a part of with so much hate, he said, I'm the man for the job. We have to hold him to that and just see what he's able to do. But I'm going to support him as best I can. I'm going to be optimistic. I'm not trying to tear somebody down just to tear somebody down. Obviously, I don't think that he's going to accomplish everything that he set forth. Nobody ever does. No president is perfect and no human is perfect. So I'm not going to put that expectation on him. What I'm trying to say is, if you are not going to fulfill promises, don't make them in the first place, because that's going to lead to disappointment. That's why I always tell people, do not put your faith in politicians. It's dangerous. Hope for the best, expect the worst, and hopefully we get through this. 400,000 people have lost their lives due to COVID. More people are continuing to die every day. So the first thing on the agenda is managing COVID. And then next we'll see what he's able to do next. But I'm going to continue to be supportive and be optimistic, because I feel like you can only expect good when you keep an open mind and hope for the best.
See that, guys? The power of positivity. We love to see it. We love to see it. That's what this podcast spreads.
I'm the negative one.
Yeah, he's the radical negative one. He doesn't think women should have pockets on their clothes. It's crazy, some of the shit Justin be saying. Oh my God. Guys. But
he's stretching. He has to stretch in order to make me sound radical. You are radical left.
I'm not. Embrace it. You can't keep saying that, because then people are going to think that, like, I'm a member of Antifa, whatever that means. I'm not radical left. I just think that.
I don't know.
Wow. No, I just think that there's a place for human decency in politics. I think that healthcare is a right, not a privilege. I don't think that the vote should be suppressed. I think American citizens should have livable wages. Like, if you're complaining about people making $15 an hour, my main thing I'm going to think is, okay, now you feel some type of way because your $20 an hour don't look as good now, right? You're fine with a company taking advantage of somebody and paying them $7.25 or whatever it is, and you're fine with your company taking advantage of you and paying you whatever they pay you. But when that gap starts to close, right? When that gap starts to close, make people neck get a little tight there, right? Now you can't be talking that flashy shit that I'm so much better than somebody because I get paid X amount more. What's that called? That wealth gap start to close a little bit, and a lot of us are in the same bracket. You know what I mean? So I don't know. That's another episode for another day, but just saying.
People don't want equality. People don't want equality because that's what equality is. Somebody making the same amount as you, people having the same opportunities as you. The reality is most people don't want that. You want to be better than somebody else. How much is enough money? More. Greed, corruption is the reason why this system continues to thrive and why there's a growing wealth gap. I think we just have to open our minds and put ourselves in other people's shoes. We always talk about perspectives on the show because that's the name of the game. You cannot understand the world if you cannot understand the life of your neighbor. You know, I didn't grow up poor, but whenever I went to community college, I was around, you know, different people that come from different means. And it really opened up my worldview to see how other people have it. And I think that I was better for it. I learned so much. I opened up and, you know, I learned about the challenges that other people face. I had friends that were undocumented. I had friends that were DACA kids. And I never had experience with that, you know, in the past. But listening to them and understanding where they came from allowed me to be sympathetic to their desires because everybody just wants to be treated equal and everybody wants to be given a fair shot. Nobody asks to be in their circumstance, but we make do with what we have and we try to be the best versions of ourselves. So I think that's, you know, a lesson that we all have to understand for ourselves. And everybody reaches that level of understanding at different times.
Empathy, right? So it makes you a functioning adult, makes you a decent person. A lot of people lack it. And a lot of people lack common sense. I don't want to have those conversations no more. If you don't think Joe Biden won the election, right? You think all this was a sham. You think that no matter what facts and data have been presented to you, that the only person that's been telling you the truth is this Q person on Reddit and Donald Trump. If you believe that, you're off the reservation. Like, the lights are on no one's home. And we don't need to have conversations because there ain't no helping you. I don't know who to tell. Like, turn to Jesus, turn to Allah, turn to Buddha. But I hope one day you do find the light. But I got too much shit to worry about on my own to help you find the light. That ain't my job.
Exactly. I was going to entertain even having a conservative or somebody on the show, but I'm tired of having those conversations and I don't feel like editing that and listening to whatever that person has to say, to be honest.
I'll speak to a conservative. If you're telling me you're a Trumper, I don't got nothing to say to you. Like, if you still believe at the end of the day that he won, we don't got nothing to talk about, man. We don't got nothing to talk about. I will talk to a Republican that if you're one of those Republicans that put country over party, you're one of those Lincoln Project Republicans or one of those Never Trump Republicans or Republicans for Biden. We can talk. I like having intelligent conversation. It's harder and harder to come by these days, but I still like having them.
Open our perspective. I remember what my real off my chest was. I didn't write it down, but my off my chest. My off my chest is I'm tired of seeing these pictures of Elijah Cummings, John Lewis, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Chadwick Boseman smiling down from heaven when they're looking down at Kamala and Joe. I hate to see it. Honestly, that stuff is so cringy to me. I saw one where it was John McCain, Elijah Cummings, Ruth Bader Ginsburg. I'm like, John McCain, you guys in this revisionist history when it comes to John McCain, stop rewriting his legacy. He really does not care about what's happening on Earth. I promise you that. I promise you that. But you know what I'm talking about? Like, it shows them smiling down from heaven. Aww.
Yeah, it was like when Obama got elected and they had, like, pictures of him at a table with Malcolm and Martin and stuff. And it's like, it's like, you know what? I think they are four of the most important black men that have ever, you know, been produced by this country. I mean, that's undebatable, right? Those T-shirts are stupid. Like, we don't need those. You know what I mean?
It makes me cringe so bad. The worst one is Chadwick Boseman and Ruth Bader Ginsburg doing the Wakanda Forever symbol. I'm like, come on. And then also Mindy Kaling, she has a daughter. She posted something on Instagram watching the inauguration and she's like, oh my God, my daughter said, mommy, is that you? Stop lying. Stop lying. You know your daughter did not say, mommy, is that you? Kamala Harris looks nothing like you. Stop playing. A lot of these celebrities are trying to get attention. That stuff gets on my nerves so much. Mommy, is that you? No, it's not. Stop. Don't even try and fool her.
Oh, man. Oh,
goodness. I think we're done. Did you have anything to add?
Well, you talked about revisionist history. One thing I want you guys to know, I mean, we talked on Martin Luther King Jr. a little bit on our MLK Day episode. It's already happened, but take time and look them up for yourself and do your own research, because this getting punched in the face and turning the other cheek and walking down the street with his head held high guy, that's what they want you to think about him. This guy was a revolutionary. Don't ever let nobody sugarcoat it and make you think he was soft in any way. That man stood his ground, stood up for what he believed in. He was not soft. He was a revolutionary. He was just as revolutionary as Malcolm. They just had two different messages.
Don't whitewash history. Open up your book. And I think that's how people learn, to be honest. Instead of listening to what your mom and dad and what your school system told you, go to school, educate yourself on what really happened, and your eyes will be open, I promise you. Everybody, I feel like when they go to college and they learn history for the first time, their eyes are open and it leads to more knowledge. You're like, okay, what else is a lie? And we'll eventually do an episode about lies that we're told when we're younger, but that's not today's episode. But I guess my message for this week is do the work for yourself, understand things. Not everything is what it seems. And like Dante said, you know, MLK was not this benevolent man that just let people spit on him and hit him in the head and just did nothing. He was a revolutionary. That's when they decided to take his life. So it's interesting. JFK, MLK, Malcolm.
I'm glad you said that. They were all cool when he's talking about I have a dream and, you know, I want my black kids to play with those little white kids. When he started talking about paying black people the same as they pay white people, they were like, nah, that's a bridge too far, my guy.
It's unfortunate. Rest in peace to MLK and anybody else that stood up for something when it was most unpopular, because that's what a true pioneer is. You might be seen as a radical in your current time frame, but history is always kind to those that decide to stand for something when everybody else is against it.
History is going to look great on me since you always call me this radical and everything. Guess what's going to happen in 10, 15 years? All these women's clothes are going to have pockets. People are going to have health care, a livable wage. Yo, I am a rep. I am. I'm kidding.
I am a revolutionary.
I want you to repeat after me.
I am
a revolutionary.
But this guy is something else. We need to watch, what is it called? Judas and the Black Messiah.
Oh, I can't wait.
Repeat after me.
Me too. All these good black movies are coming out. I have so much to watch. But the only thing I have left to say on this episode is, we did it, Joe. We did it. You're going to be the next president of the United States. And with that being said, that's it for this episode. Dante, close out the show.
We are Polar Opposites. Thank you for listening to us. Thank you for supporting us. Drop a rating. Drop a review. Tell your friend to tell a friend about it. Subscribe. Listen to the episode all the way through, unsubscribe, subscribe again, listen again. I'm kidding about that part, but no, seriously, thank you for this community that we've built. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you for supporting us. We appreciate you. I'm done. Justin, take us out. I'll see you later.
And we will catch you guys on the next one. Bye, guys.
I think that is an answer to that myth. And it is that time is neutral. It can be used either constructively or destructively. And I'm absolutely convinced that the forces of ill will in our nation, the extreme rightists in our nation, have often used time much more effectively than the forces of goodwill. And it may well be that we will have to repent in this generation, not merely for the vitriolic words of the bad people and the violent actions of the bad people, but for the appalling silence and indifference of the good people who sit around and say, wait on time. Somewhere we must come to see that social progress never rolls in on the wheels of inevitability. It comes through the tireless efforts and the persistent work of dedicated individuals. And without this hard work, time itself becomes an ally of the primitive forces of social stagnation. And so we must help time. And we must realize that the time is always ripe to do right.